May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1095. Dearest of all the names above, my Jesus and my God, who can resist thy heavenly love or trifle with thy blood? Let us be careful how we sing this verse. Oh, that our prayer might be that Christ may be revealed to us this day, that we may embrace him with the arms of living faith. Hymn 1095.
Thank you. We'll read from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and the first 17 verses of chapter 4. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, and the first 17 verses of chapter 4. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbour, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons, and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said further more unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? And who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what he shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do these signs. Dear Lord, thou who art the strength of thy dear people, and ever present help in time of need, we have read of thy servant Moses and all the solemnity of his unbelief. And equally, gracious God, we have read of thy exceeding great and precious promises that thou didst give him. And dear Lord, how much we feel like him, that we need that blessed faith to trust in those exceeding great and precious promises that thou hast given us, that we may be enabled to come to thee with the many things in life's pathway that lay heavily upon us, as they lay upon him, his felt sense of insufficiency, and Lord, the deep need of the trial of his faith, how conscious we are of the solemnity of the wiles of the devil. Lord, we wrestle not, thou knowest, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And thou hast said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to resist the devil, and having done all, to stand. And we are to take the shield of faith, whereby we shall be enabled to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so we come into thy house this morning, and we seek, gracious God, thy presence, those eternal and everlasting arms underneath, and the teaching of thy Spirit, that we may know thy strength and thy grace, and have the exceeding great and precious promises in our hearts. Certainly, I will be with thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And thou didst say to Moses much later in his life, my presence shall go with thee, Lord, and I will give thee rest. And how much we need that blessed rest, that we may be enabled to trust in thee at all times and to pour out our heart before thee. We seek this day that we may know those precious arms underneath. Lord, the promises of our God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Help us, we pray thee, to fall into thy arms, and may we know, Lord, thy presence in thy house this day. Thou seest in the house of God here this morning those who understand these things, who have an exercise and a concern, who know what temptation means, who know what weakness means, and who know something about their own fallen nature and their unbelieving heart, and a desire, Lord, for more grace, that faith as a grain of mustard seed, and they may be enabled to trust in thee at all times and to pour out their heart before thee. And it is that strength, the strength of living faith in thyself. For thou art a faithful God. We have proved it over life's pathway and have known thy patience with us. We marvel at thy patience with thy servant Moses. We read of thy anger with him, at his solemn unbelief and his distrust of thee. But gracious God, we have not a stone to throw at him. Our poor hearts are full of unbelief. But oh, we pray that we may be enabled to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there are hopes to stay. And we thank thee that thou art that God. I am the Lord that changes not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And dear Lord, we are dependent upon thee in all our pathway and have been throughout our lives. And oh, how we must confess that thou art that God who changes not. And we would seek that thou wouldst give us more faith. One said, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. One said, oh, my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but better to me thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. And so, gracious God, we pray this day that thou wouldst come by thy Spirit and plant in the hearts of thy living family that blessed trust in thyself, that hope in thy mercy, that there may be given grace to rest in thyself, Lord, that we may know that blessed rest of living faith in which we are able to roll every burden upon thee and to be still and know that thou art God. We ask ourselves, what promises have we got? Oh, what a mercy, Lord, if thou hast given us one of those exceeding great and precious promises. What a foundation to stand upon. But oh, how we need grace to use them, to bring them to thyself in every time of need, and to lay them at thy mercy seat, to have something which we can say to thee, Lord, thou saidst to me. Gracious God, we thank thee for giving us some of those exceeding great and precious promises, that we may be enabled to trust in them and rest in them. Dear Lord, we pray for the work of thy Spirit in the sanctuary of God here, that there may be life and light and teaching and fruit, the work of thy Spirit, that there might be a growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, that there might be a putting forth of the roots downward and an establishment in the truth and a teaching of thy Spirit and a walking in the sweet paths of obedience and submission to thyself, to be made as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter, and to be able to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? As thy dear servant the Apostle Paul said to thee, dear Lord, look down and move amongst this people, young and old. For gracious God, we desire the work of thy Spirit, that which will stand in that great day when the secrets of every heart will be revealed. Oh, then, may we have somewhat of that gold, silver, and precious stones, and be delivered from resting upon the wood, hay, and stubble. For gracious God, we face a never-ending eternity. And oh, in that day when we must meet thee face to face, what a mercy it will be if we are brought into the sweetness of that word, and mine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is afar off. Lord, work by thy Spirit this day, and search the hearts of the people, that they may examine themselves, whether they be in the faith or no, whether they have an empty profession of thy name, or whether they have the secret in their hearts, and thou hast spoken to them. We seek, gracious God, thy glory. Thou hast promised, I will work, and who shall let it? And gracious God, we seek that thou wilt work in the hearts of thy dear people, and come by thy Spirit, and grant that there may be a building up and an establishment in the truth. Thou knowest the prayers that have come up before thee this morning, and we pray that thou wilt answer them. O Lord, thou art a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God, and we look to thee to work by thy Spirit and to grant that life, that eternal life in the soul, and Lord, that knowledge of thyself. We read of thy servant Moses, of the work of grace in his heart, in the court of Pharaoh, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And dear Lord, we seek that we may be led in that same pathway and be able to look back to those days when thou did separate us from this world that lieth in wickedness, and bring us to follow thyself and to join that despised group of thy people and to find them to be our company. We read in thy word, they went to their own company, and we pray, Lord, thou would search the hearts of the people here this day. Have they walked that pathway out? Have they been separated from this world that lieth in wickedness? And, Lord, have they been brought to seek the company of thy people, separated from this world and brought to thyself? We seek the light of truth may shine in their hearts, and gracious God, that in that searching process they may be able to put their hand upon something which thou hast done for them and in them. For Lord, we are well persuaded that in that great day thy searching hand will know and reveal thy own workmanship. And O gracious God, we pray that we may be made ready to stand before thy face. We seek that thy will may be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, that thou wilt come and work in these days by thy Spirit, and grant in this sanctuary of God and amongst this people a movement of thy Spirit. O deliver, Lord, from sleep and sloth, Lord, and unbelief and darkness, and O grant life and power and strength and willingness and readiness to follow thee. For Lord, we read in thy holy word of thy dear servant Peter, who followed thee at a distance. And what a solemn lesson he learnt by doing it. One said, my soul followeth hard after thee. Oh, may it be the case with each one of us. And may we be brought to seek thee, and Lord, to rest in thee, and to trust in thee, and to commit our way unto thee. For thou hast promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so, dear Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near and come and work in our hearts and teach us by thy Spirit, and grant us faith to trust in thee at all times and to pour out our heart before thee. Look down, we pray thee, Lord, and come by thy Spirit and bless thy sent servants this day as they stand up in thy holy name. Oh, we seek in these dark days when there has come this great falling away that thou wilt come by thy Spirit and, Lord, pour out thy Spirit upon the foolishness of preaching, and grant that there may be an outpouring which shall bring forth fruit to thine own honour and glory. Lord, we seek that blessing, that there may be a turning of the great tides of darkness. But dear Lord, we see in our land the great clouds of persecution rising against thy people. And oh, we pray that in these dark and evil times we may be given grace, and thy people may be given grace to stand, and having done all, to stand. For Lord, thy dear people are a persecuted people. Thou didst say when here on earth, if they hated me, they will hate you also. And Lord, we see in these dark and evil times that thy dear people, on account of their conscience, cannot now obey the laws of this land and are persecuted for it. And Lord, we mourn as we read in thy holy word, we will be numbered amongst those who sigh and groan for the abominations done in the land. And oh, we pray for grace to be enabled to stand in this evil day, and having done all, to stand. Oh, may we be enabled to stand, having our loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Pour out thy Spirit then, we pray thee, and move and work, if it can be thy sovereign will, and turn the great tides of darkness, and come and shine in the midst of it. Lord, look down, we pray thee, upon thy servants, and anoint them this day, and use them to thine honour and glory. We pray, dear Lord, for those in affliction and sickness, those unable to be in the house of God this morning. Look down upon them. Oh, how we have learnt in life's pathway that in the valleys of affliction thou dost visit our souls and dost bless us. And they are the times when we come closest to thyself. And dear Lord, we do not value those times enough, for in our own poor, unbelieving hearts, we would avoid the cross and the thorn in the flesh and the tribulation, the tribulatory pathway. But thou hast ordained it, that in the midst of it all, we should learn what it is to trust in thyself at all times. And so we seek that thou wouldst draw near to us and be with us and help us, gracious God, to trust in thee. We pray for those in affliction that thou wouldst sanctify it to them and bless them in it. And gracious God, we pray for the young as they are growing up. Oh, that thou wouldst touch their hearts in their youth and come and work by thy Spirit and grant, Lord, that they may be brought to know thee in the days of their youth while the evil days come not. Dear Lord, look down, we pray thee, in the churches, and grant that there may be raised up a following generation. We thank thee for sending more servants of thine into the ministry of thy holy word. Lord, many of thy dear servants are coming near the end of their journey. They have laboured long upon the walls of Zion, and they have passed the allotted span of life. And now we seek that thou wouldst come again by thy Spirit and raise up a following generation and come and work. Dear Lord, thou hast commanded us to pray for those in authority over us, that we may live peaceable lives in all godliness. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst work and raise up God-fearing men in high places, if it can be thy sovereign will. Look upon the Queen and the Prime Minister and his Cabinet and our parliamentary assemblies. O gracious God, the evils, dear Lord, that are committed by them, the acts of Parliament that have been passed and they want to pass, destroying the very foundations of our society. Great are the evils of our day, and great is the darkness. Lord, the nation has turned from thy word and thy holy day and thy holy law. And we witness in this land heathen darkness, a secular, godless society, and thy dear church is but a tiny remnant in the midst. And Lord, we watch, knowing that thou changest not, that all things are in thy hands. And oh, we pray that this once favoured nation may be brought to turn to thyself, and that thou wouldst come by thy Spirit, as thou hast in former days, and pour out thy Spirit upon this land. We say with one of old, turn us again, and we shall be turned. Now, Lord, we commit all into thy dear hands this day. We seek thy presence, the presence of thy Spirit, that thou wouldst come and draw near to us and help us to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there are hopes to stay. Lord, we seek the anointing of thy Spirit, and that thou wouldst touch our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar, and fill an earthen vessel, and grant us, gracious God, thy presence, and that there may be some good thing done in thy holy name, that some hard heart may be softened, that some unbelieving heart may receive faith, that blessed gift of God, and there may be that done which shall be to thine honour and glory, and that we may be enabled to be strengthened with all might in the inner man, and granted thy help and thy presence. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 476. Oh, the delights, the heavenly joys, the glories of the place where Jesus sheds the brightest beams of his o'erflowing grace. Hymn 476.
seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this morning to the third chapter of the book of Exodus, reading from the first clause of verse 12. The third chapter of the book of Exodus, reading from the first clause of verse 12. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee." And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee." The whole verse reads, "And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." There are two things on my mind this morning. One is the exceeding great and precious promises, and the other is temptation. Whether you will be able to understand them, I do not know. Firstly, the exceeding great and precious promises. Have you got one? Moses, at the beginning of the pathway to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, was given one of these exceeding great and precious promises. God spoke to him in his soul and spoke with blessed certainty. Why? It was the Word of God. Or you might think, could he possibly doubt it? Well, what have we read this morning? That exceeding great and precious promise was followed by unbelief, temptation. You see, God gives these promises with a blessed purpose. He knows something about the conflict that his dear people walk in. It is one of the steps in life's pathway spiritually to be tried and tempted of Satan. And it is very solemn, that within us there is an unbelieving heart that listens to Satan. But what a blessed mercy if the Lord has spoken to us. What a strength that is, that we can look up to him and say, "Lord, thou saidst." What a blessed bond between our souls and our God that we have in the sinking sands of time, something that we can rest upon, that God himself has spoken to us. And I speak this morning not to you older ones only, but to the young. Or has the Lord given you an exceeding great and precious promise? Has he spoken to you in your heart? And has he said, in this word which rests upon my mind, certainly? Oh, what a power, what a blessedness, what a life there lies in this word, certainly. We live in a changing scene of time. All about us is uncertain. We have no knowledge of the future or what the Lord will bring upon us or do to us. But there are things with regard to the work of God which are solid, which have a rock-like foundation. "I am the Lord," he says, "I change not, Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I do say to you this morning, have you a rock beneath your feet? Has the Lord done something for you? Can you deny it? Has he never spoken to you? Has he never dropped a precious word into your heart? He spoke to Moses. I looked this morning at the words of the Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Hebrews in that 11th chapter of the Hebrew Worthies, and there he has much to say about Moses. And he says this, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then he says this, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Do you understand that? Has your heart been separated from the world? You may say in your heart, I've got no religion. I know nothing. Do you understand the pathway Moses walked? Have you been brought out of the world? How was it done? Can you go back into it? What a blessed word this is, you know, certainly I'll be with thee. We need it in our own hearts. We need it spoken to us. You may in your soul realize the solemn danger of an empty profession. And you may be tempted, and that's what rests on my mind, tempted and tried year after year, day upon day, night upon night, about your religion. Why do we need these promises? These two things go together. Temptation and the promises. We need a promise to keep us in temptation. I felt with this word upon my mind as I read of Moses, I have no stone to throw against him. Have you? Unbelief. Oh, what a solemn sin it is. And the Apostle Paul understood it. Do you understand the 7th of Romans? Oh, the solemnity of that conflict. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. And it is in the hearts of God's dear people a blessed desire that they may be brought to trust him. Is it in your heart? Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. Now the Lord, when you look at the case of Moses, how patient the Lord was with his unbelief. He was angry with it. What about your unbelief? What about your solemn pathway? These exceeding great and precious promises. Moses had it. Certainly, what better promise could he have had? You know, when Joshua had to take over from Moses and enter the promised land, as Moses was forbidden because of his unbelief to enter the promised land, the Lord gave Joshua that promise. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. What a sight we have. of a holy, heart-searching God, patient with his unbelieving people, giving them exceeding great and precious promises. Why do you think in the scriptures there are so many fear not? Because his dear people are full of fears. Now I say this, may it separate amongst you, because the professing world does not understand that. They know nothing about temptation, for Satan doesn't tempt them. They're satisfied. They have peace. It's a false peace. God's dear people are a tried and tempted people. They and they alone are the recipients of those exceeding great and precious promises. And I tell you this, they need them. Certainly, I will be with thee. You know, the Lord in his rich mercy fulfilled that promise to Moses. What is so striking about this situation with Moses is that he was 80 at the time he received that promise. He was 40 years in the court of Pharaoh. He was 40 years in the backside of the desert. And he was 40 years leading Israel to the promised land. He was 120 when his life was taken. You see, when the Lord gave him this promise, certainly I will be with thee, and when we see him speaking again and again of his unfitness to follow the Lord and obey him, his lack of trust, his solemn unbelief, when we see him doing that and think of his life, he was to go to Pharaoh and then lead Israel through the wilderness. Now, 40 years in the court of Pharaoh was the preparation. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had grown up there. And 40 years in the wilderness was his preparation to lead them through the wilderness. He was totally prepared for the work that the Lord called him to do. And he could not see it. He could not see the pathway. And so we see again and again, as we read that fourth chapter, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, I am slow of speech. And that was not the first of his unbelief, for he had said before the Lord gave him the promise, when he called him to lead his people out of Egypt, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? You know, we're not to follow Moses, are we? He's not a good example, is he? The Lord desired that he would rest in this promise. But you may well say to me, I'm like him. I understand his fears and his temptations and his weakness. You see, there are two things here. The power of temptation and the solemn wiles of the devil, they are a reality. We listen to him. He sends shafts of fear into our hearts, temptations into our souls. He tempted Christ. Do you know anything about that temptation? Has he sent arrows into your heart? What a blessed distinction lies here. God's dear people know temptation. The world knows nothing of it. What a separating thing it is. A solemn separation lies here. Who amongst you this morning knows something of the power of temptation, even after you have been given an exceeding great and precious promise? Oh, how the Lord calls his dear people to trust in him at all times and to pour out their hearts before him. But the temptations of Satan are very great. He is a mighty foe. And God's dear children know something about it. And there's a second thing here, and that's this. Our poor fallen nature. We carry within us, if the Lord has begun a work of grace in our hearts, two things. The old man and the new. A poor fallen nature in that old man, full of unbelief, full of temptation, full of fear. And we listen to Satan. What a bitter foe he is. This is what Moses did here. He listened to Satan. But you see this. When the Lord spoke this promise into his heart, certainly I will be with thee. It was in the midst of all his temptations, and the Lord's word does not change. It is unalterable. What Christ has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build. And the Lord proved it to Moses. He had to go to the court of Pharaoh, and go he did. He had to use the signs that the Lord gave him. And he proved this word. He proved again and again. Eventually all the signs brought forth what the Lord had told him, that Pharaoh would let his people go. And he came to the Red Sea, and the Lord parted the waters before him. And they crossed over, and he saw the fulfillment of this blessed word. Certainly, I will be with thee. He had it again and again. I do say to you this morning, have you had a promise? And have you seen the fulfillment of it? I look back in my life, and it's made me this verse. Look back over my long life, and I've looked to times when, in great weakness and need, the Lord has given me promises. In one time of immense weakness and under tremendous pressure, on my knees, he spoke to me, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That was many years ago. And I knew the power of that promise at that time. My weakness went. A sacred stillness came over my soul. I was free of fear and temptation. Faith was in exercise, and I was sweetly lifted up. Darkness went. You know, it's hard to believe that that could be so. But that is the effect of a precious promise. It delivers us out of our unbelief when it comes with power into our hearts. But I was going to say this. It's given for life. I've come up here today with that promise. I've had to live upon it again and again. As I said before, I cast not a stone at Moses. I know what unbelief is and how solemn are the fears and temptations of God's dear people. But equally I know this, how blessed are the promises. And that is not the only promise the Lord has given me in life's pathway. But I have walked in the footsteps of Moses in unbelief. When the Lord called me to the ministry and showed me the blessedness of it as a student at university and laid it in my heart, I saw the blessedness of the ministry in one moment as a student, but I waited 15 years before the Lord gave me that command to go. And when he did, I was just like Moses. I said, Lord, I can't go. I sat under the ministry of Mr. Frank Gosden in Gower Street Chapel at the general meetings, and he preached from the text, who shall I send? And who will go for me? And he said, here I am. Send me. And he said, go. And I knew from that moment I had to go. But immediately, like poor Moses, I felt utterly unable to go, and I didn't say anything. I kept my mouth shut. And I came out of that chapel in great darkness and felt I never would go. Oh, the solemnity of disobedience. How can, I've thought lately, how can we doubt such a merciful, great, mighty, powerful God? Have you doubted him? A God who is faithful, unchangeable to his word. How do we doubt him? Distrust him. Cannot rest in his word. Listen to Satan and all his many temptations. When the Lord speaks with such blessedness in our hearts, you know, it gives us something of the idea and the concept of what the Lord is like. Has it struck you this morning how the Lord dealt with Moses? Oh, the patience. You see, the Lord is a God of mercy. And we see that in this case of Moses. Oh, the mercy of God to him. Oh, the patience of God with him. Is he patient with you? Has he fulfilled his promises? You've doubted him and doubted him. Your heart has been full of unbelief. You could not trust him. But in rich mercy, he has not left you. And he didn't leave his dear servant Moses. He began with him in the court of Pharaoh. He was a child of God. He was separated from this world. He knew his God. And as we know later in his life, he had many blessed sights of his God. The Lord revealed himself to him. And when he came towards the end of his life on Sinai, the Lord spoke another promise into his heart. When he was about to enter the promised land, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. The Lord never left him. He was with him, faithful to him to the end. And you see, Moses appeared with Elijah on the Mount of the Transfiguration, pardoned forgiven, ransomed, healed, sweetly blessed in his own heart with the knowledge of his God. A poor, unbelieving Moses, tempted, tried, bitterly tried. You see, the example we should learn from this is this. Implicit obedience is what the Lord requires. Not half-hearted obedience. How half-hearted is our obedience? How we look downward instead of upward? How many fears we have? We cannot trust the Lord. He gives us exceeding great and precious promises. And yet we distrust him. I say again, as I said at the beginning, two things on my mind. The exceeding great and precious promises and the temptations and trials of God's dear people. And you see, in regard to our promise here, the promise given to Moses, he did worship the Lord in that mount when they came out of Egypt. He did receive that token. The Lord did not leave him. He doesn't condone his unbelief. But you know, the Lord was faithful to him. He taught him what he was, what was in his heart, what a poor thing he was. And he brought him to know what a faithful God he had, what a loving God, who bore with him in all his unbelief and never left him nor forsook him. Now, I say to you this morning, do you know these two paths? Do you know something of the exceeding great and precious promises? Have you got one? Have you rested in it? Have you trusted the Lord? Have you obeyed him? Or are you like Moses? Again and again, who am I? I'm not eloquent. What reasons could he think up that he might not go to serve the Lord? And yet he had that promise. Does it strike you as exceedingly strange that he should behave like it after the goodness of his God to him? You might say, no, it doesn't strike me as strange. I understand it. I'm a poor, unbelieving thing myself. Oh, my distrustful heart. Is that your experience? How small thy faith appears, but better to me thou art than all my doubts and fears, is it? Deny it if you will. It is a solemn path that God's dear people walk. They little realize the solemnity of Satan's temptations, and they spend their time listening to him. Moses did. But I say to you this morning, what a blessed path it is to trust him. when I was exercised, and I think I've said this here before, but I say it again, I would press it home. When I was exercised about being baptized, the Lord suddenly laid it in my heart with great power when I was watching the ordinance in September 1957. And I started to shy from it. I did nothing. And later there was a young man baptized in November. And I sat in the back of the chapel, utterly condemned. For I felt it should have been me. But you know, I opened my hymn book before the service began, and to my utter amazement, I saw the bottom two lines of a hymn, and they was this: "Come be baptized without delay in honor of thy King." And I went to my father and said, "I think I'll be baptized." And he said, "No, you won't. You can go away. You're not coming like that." He was utterly faithful. I was hesitating. Half, no implicit obedience. Temptation. The Lord had commanded it. Later he preached from "Why Hawkesy Between Two Opinions." And it brought me at once to go to him. And I said to him that night, "I'll be baptized." And all he said was this: "That's better." It taught me such a lesson, both over my baptism and the ministry. I understand Moses' pathway. The Lord's commands, his promises, and unbelief, temptation. Oh, I've seen so much in implicit obedience. And I say this to you this morning, I know none of your exercises, none of your temptations, none of your promises, but the Lord knows. And how blessed is this word? Have you got one? Certainly. I will be with thee. Oh, the glory of that promise. Moses came to the end of his life, and he proved that the Lord had kept his word. And so would his dear people. But I tell you this, they'll have much to grieve over. Much to grieve over. Solemn disobedience. I stood by the dying bed of a dear godly man with my father. And he said to my father 15 years ago, and he's not the only man who's spoken to me like this. He said, 15 years ago I was exercised to come forward, and I never did. He said to my father, if I rise from this bed, I'll come forward. And my father said as we left the house, as far as I'm concerned, he's baptized. But he never did rise. The Lord took him. But oh, to come to a dying bed with such solemn unbelief and sadness, and to realize and understand the awful nature of distrust and disobedience, certainly I will be with thee. The Lord has spoken. Oh, how solemn that we do not, and sometimes feel cannot, trust him. Now I tell you this, when the Lord did bring me to baptism, I was full of fears. At the beginning of the service, it was like a knife through my heart, my fears. But I can tell you this, as I stood on the steps waiting to go down into that water, which speaks of the death of Christ and his resurrection, I felt utter peace. Utter peace. And I remember there so well, saying to myself, if this be death, it's all I want, Lord. Oh, to come to that solemn hour when heart and flesh must fail and will fail, to have an exceeding great and precious promise to rest upon. For we shall be full of temptations, full of fears, then to prove him to be that God that changes not. Now I say to you this morning, the world knows nothing of this. The religious world knows nothing of it. And here is the mystery of the pathway of God's dear children. Tempted, tried, afflicted, full of unbelief, darkness, and yet they have a promise, an exceeding great and precious promise. Certainly, I will be with thee. The Lord gave it to Moses as he said to him, who am I that I should go? As soon as the Lord commanded him, he started to shy. And I know this, when the Lord laid the ministry in my heart, for years I longed to go. But when the moment came to go, I shied. I hesitated. I counted the cost. I began to realize the burden. And you know, that burden has grown as life has gone on. And God's dear people do prove this. The trial of their faith, the heating of the furnace, becomes exceeding great as life goes on. And they need these blessed promises in their hours of temptation. For God is faithful. He changes not. And we have this blessed example of his patience here with Moses. Oh, the solemnity of his unbelief and the blessedness of the patience of his God with him. I believe there are some of you here this morning who know a little of what I'm talking about. This pathway is a warfare. We have a solemn enemy who understands us completely and tempts and tries us and would destroy us. And we have a God who has conquered him and patiently watches over his dear people in their fallen, unbelieving condition and gives them, in the hour of trial, the trial of their faith, these weapons of their warfare. Take unto you the shield of faith, whereby ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Do you understand me? I say again, you won't have a stone to throw at Moses. There's no such thing as duty faith. Faith is a grain of mustard seed will save a soul, but it's the gift of God. It's not in man. And the Lord tries the faith of his dear people. But the hymn writer says, gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. And the Lord lays upon his dear people heavy afflictions, bitter crosses, that he might bring them to himself and to that blessed path. Trust in him. At all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. Do you do it? I believe when we have to, we do. When we're in deep affliction, we do. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And you know, it's like Jacob. When the Lord called him at Bethel, he gave him a blessed promise. I'll be with thee in all places, whithersoever thou goest, and I'll not leave thee until I have brought thee again to this place. And when he did bring him, he came to Brook Jabbok to meet his brother, whom he had betrayed and who hated him. And he went to his knees alone, and he had a promise, I'll be with thee, I'll not leave thee. Oh, how he needed it. Blessed promise. The Lord had given it to him in the early days of his life, as he did to Moses here. I say in conclusion again, have you got a promise? Blessed mercy if you have. The Lord leads you into a consideration of this text. The two subjects of my sermon this morning, promises and temptation. I tell you this, they go together. We're given them, those exceeding great and precious promises, to support us in the hours of great temptation and the bitter conflict with a tempting adversary and our poor fallen nature. What a mercy that in God's word he leaves on record these blessed examples. They are encouragement to God's dear people. In the midst of all their fears, trials, unbelief and temptations, the Lord will not leave them. Patiently bears with him. We read of Moses, he was angry with him. Why? Because of his unbelief. Has the Lord been angry with you? Yet I believe this. The Lord knows the hearts of his dear people. Thomas said, I'll not believe unless I see. How solemn. You may be saying that this morning, I'll not believe unless the Lord give me a good token, something I want. I'll not believe. I can't trust him. I leave it. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £2,180, for which we are very thankful. And these collections were for the Oakington Chapel Building Repair Fund. And the collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society on Friday evening amounted to £580, again for which we would be thankful. God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Philip Warren will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with part of hymn number 802, commencing at verse 20. Sins against a holy God. Sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as is the sea, hide me, O Gethsemane. Hymn 802, commencing at verse 20.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.